If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Proverbs 4 this morning. Father's Day message. According to the South Carolina Palmetto Family Council, Mother's and Father's Day, the post-war generation after World War II had 80% of children grew up in a home with a mother and a father. Today, that statistic is below 50%. The effects of fatherlessness. Kids who have a father in the home are twice as likely to graduate from high school. 20% more of them will go to college. 95% of kids growing up with a mom and dad will not experience discipline problems. It's unlikely to experience poverty. If they're in a single parent home, they probably will have some effects financially. Half as likely to be involved in crime or jail if they have a mother and a father. Each year without a father a kid spends, he's 5% more likely to get in some kind of trouble with the police or spend jail time. Physical and sexual abuse is highly unlikely in a home with a mother and a father. These kids are half as likely to bear children out of wedlock if they have a mother and a father. And girls who lose a father to death may be likely to be withdrawn emotionally. But if they lose their father to divorce, they are more likely to be sexually aggressive, seeking the love of a man that they don't have from their father. It's important that we recognize what happens, and the Scripture teaches us how not to let these things happen. Proverbs 4, verse 1. Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I've taught thee in the way of wisdom. I've led thee in the right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, they shall not stumble. Thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Verse 23, chapter 4 of Proverbs. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Verse 27, the last verse. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Father, as we look in your word, I ask you to help us. Help us to learn from the word, to grow through it. Help us put it into practice in our daily lives. We are dependent upon you, Father. We ask for your help. We pray you'd save the lost and strengthen your people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We are very blessed as a church to have a strong percentage of men who are members of the church. We have a strong men's group that sings in the choir. We have men who teach in the Sunday school and junior church. We have two men who serve on our finances and 9 deacons who also serve with them. We have a host of moms and dads who serve in the teaching programs for the children on Sunday and Wednesday nights. We have godly men. There's 8 or 9 men in this church that could fill the pulpit at any time that I'm not here, who can preach and who know how to study the Word and prepare sermon. Many who are students of the Word, who can communicate on any level of knowledge with the Bible. Whether a person has a master's degree in the Bible or theology, we've got numerous men in this church that can sit down with them and discuss the Bible on any level. Men with integrity, men with strong morals, good dads and good husbands. Proverbs chapter 4 gives the instruction of a father. And Solomon, we know, is the author of Proverbs, being led by the Spirit of God to write these words. David, who was of the most beloved king of Israel, was his father. And he learned from his father, and he was a father who taught his sons. And the Lord taught him wisdom and understanding and good doctrine to be a teachable man, one who's willing to learn and put it into practice in his life. This is something we have to gain, and Scripture says to remember what we've been taught. It's one thing to hear something, it's another thing to remember it when the time comes, to put it into practice, to use it, to make it real in our daily lives. Verse number 13 of Proverbs chapter 4, men who avoid the path of the wicked, that we stay away from wrongdoing and evil doing, that we don't allow our eyes to look upon it, that we don't allow our ears to listen to it, that we don't allow our feet to follow in the paths of those that live that lifestyle. The wicked are in darkness. They reject truth. Our job is to be a light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to show them the way out, that God can save them and change them as He's done in our lives. And we can be a great testimony because of that. We see many people who follow the wrong path and who bring destruction to their homes and who bring destruction to their own lives and misery and heartache and heartbreak and all those things that come from alcohol and drugs and immorality and all of the lifestyle that people choose in our day and time in which we live. Thirdly, men who seek the straight and narrow path. In verse 18, it says, but the path of justice is a shining light that shineth more and more into a perfect day. You see, the more you walk with God, the clearer the path becomes. The clearer you know how to walk. The clearer you understand why we walk in the way that we do and why we avoid the temptations and the pitfalls and the traps that are out there in a sinful society. We keep God's teaching. They are life and health to us. It will prolong our life. It will bless us in health. It will be a blessing to us if we avoid the sins of the flesh. You'll know more. You'll understand more. You'll have more. You'll keep more of what you have, and you'll enjoy life more if you walk with God in the straight and narrow instead of going in the way of the world. We're to keep and guard our hearts with a diligent effort. It's an old wives' fable, my friends, to say follow your heart. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Turn over to Matthew 15 with me. Now for the believer, the Bible teaches us that we're to love God with all our heart and all our soul and all our strength. And we're to love our neighbor as ourself. God changes the heart of those who believe in Him, gives us the ability to love and be righteous. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, Jesus said. Matthew 15 and verse 16 in your Bibles. Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. Jesus was being rebuked because His disciples were eating without washing their hands. They were traveling, they were passing through. there are the laws for the traveler among the Hebrew people that they could pass through a man's field and they could eat of the grain as they passed through the field. They weren't to stop and fill their pockets, but they could walk through and they could eat as they passed through. And of course, you wouldn't have an opportunity to wash your hands in order to do that. And so Jesus is saying that's not what defiles a man because he eats without his hands being washed. It's what comes out of the heart through the mouth that defiles a man. And so the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Only God can know, and only God can change it. God can cleanse us of our sin and make us a new man, a new creation through Christ Jesus. Hebrews gives us an admonition that goes along with Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 24 through 27. It's the admonition to keep our eyes on Jesus as we run the race of life that we're going through. We're to lay aside those things that hinder us, those things that beset us, sin which besets us. We're to put aside. We're to put aside the weights of things that are not beneficial to us and not profitable to us spiritually that hinder us, and we get sidetracked or on the wrong paths. If we keep our eyes on Jesus, He'll never lead us astray. If we put our eyes on men, men can fail us. Men can deceive us. Men can lead us astray. But if we keep our eyes on Jesus, He'll never lead us astray. I had in my notes on fathers these things on how to be a noble dad. A man of nobility. Nobility is defined as a man of rank, a man distinguished among his persons. He is of an exalted moral character, to be admirable in dignity, in manner, expression, and execution. To be a noble man, first of all, one must persevere. Perseverance and persistence is better than talent or money or education. A lot of people who have money or education or talent may fail in life if they don't know the Lord and don't walk with God. But those who know the Lord, if we just keep doing the right thing in persistence, God will bless and God will provide and God will reward us for our faithfulness. You take that little song about the ram, you know, battering the dam and all of that sort of rubber tree plant and all that sort of thing. That's that persistence. Just keep doing it. Just don't give up. Just don't quit. Just keep doing the right thing and God can bless what we do. There are a lot of unsuccessful people in the world in marriage and home and family that are educated and wealthy and talented, but they just quit. They threw in the towel. They didn't persist. And to be a noble man, we must have persistence. The Bible says, a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. So we may make a misstep. We may falter. We may have a problem we can't solve, but we just keep going. We just get up and go again. A righteous man falleth seven times and riseth up again. We're committed to what is right as a Christian man, as a father, as a husband, in our work, in our career. It's the longevity of faithfulness and trustworthiness and hard work that pays off in the end if we're faithful and persistent. We also need to be people of integrity. People of integrity. People who are persistent, people who are committed, people of integrity. Proverbs 20 and verse number 7 says, "The just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him." To have integrity allows you to sleep at night with your conscience. It was one of David's problems of his sin in Psalm 51, as he said, "Lord, thy sin, my sin is ever before me. I see it all the time. I know what I did wrong. It is haunting me." And having a good conscience, being a man of integrity, is somebody who can lay down and sleep at night, not have to worry about covering up all their lies and their deceit and all that sort of thing. Character is developed early in life in all of us. It's only God that can change us and make us new and give us what we need. Integrity in daily life is vital for a Christian testimony. Number four is loyalty. We sang that in the choir song today. Loyalty, loyalty, loyalty to Christ. To be faithful, loyal to church, loyal to God, loyal to the Bible, loyal to your wife, loyal to your children. If we're loyal to these things, it will help us to do what is right and resist the temptations to do what is wrong. I promise you, you will be tested. All of you of age here today know that. You've experienced it. You've been tested in all your morals and ethics and integrity and in every way. You get so mad sometimes with the circumstances of life that you could walk away from your responsibilities. I've said jokingly many times, there's not a preacher I know of that's been a pastor of a church for very long that doesn't have some Monday mornings he'd like to put poison in the communion cups and set the building on fire and leave town in the middle of the night. You can get so mad sometimes. You know, Billy Graham's wife was asked about the longevity of their marriage, you know. Never thought about divorce? No, murder several times, but never divorce, you know. You love children, you die for them. Sometimes you'd like to choke them to death when they do things that get you so aggravated that you've told them 1,000 times. But be loyal. Be noble. Be somebody that doesn't run away from the responsibilities of life. Courage. Number 5. God told Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. It's important that we have courage to face the difficulties of life, that we endure the hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, that we stand for God in a world where it is not always popular to do what is right. And boy, I'll tell you, in my lifetime, I've never seen it like I do today, that right is called wrong and wrong is called right. And our government seems to be behind an awful lot of that. We've got to have courage to stand up and tell people what's right and what the Bible says. Number 6, compassion. Christ our Savior was moved with compassion when He saw the multitude of people. They were like sheep scattered without a shepherd. They were in difficulty. They were in hardship. They were scattered. They didn't have direction. They didn't seem to have a leader. They weren't following a designed path. And the compassion of Christ was moved when He saw this. Our lives is not just I, me, and my. We affect everybody around us. As I mentioned earlier, I learned what I know of being a good dad and a father from reading the Bible and going to church, being influenced by godly people who were good parents. And I didn't grow up with that as an example at home. You know what? I went through 8 years of college and I never took a course one time on how to be a parent. How to be a good dad, how to be a husband. I think I took a course on animal husbandry one time, but I never took a course on a human being, how to be a good husband or a good dad or any of those things. But I've learned it from watching good men. To have compassion helps us have balance. It helps us to be generous toward others. It helps us to help people who are in need. And there's not a one of us here that hasn't been helped by somebody in a critical time that has rescued us and salvaged us. Number 7 is self-discipline. To have self-control, to abstain from sinful things, to have the strength to say no to the temptations of life, to remember that what you do today you'll sleep with forever. And if we're reminded of that, we'll resist an awful lot of the troubles and the trials and the problems of life. Number 8 is honesty. Should never be a question on the part of a Christian man. Our honesty, our integrity, our trustworthiness. We should be the kind of people that could be promoted on the job, that we could handle the company's money, that we could be trusted with the material things, the equipment, and all that sort of thing of a company or a corporation. As a Christian man, we should be somebody that can be trusted to, when he fills out his time card, that it'll be accurate and to the time and not filled with lies and not expanded for our own behalf. Also, a godly man who's honest won't rob God either. This church has a strong percentage of givers for the size church that we are. We have a strong offering. We gave over $100,000 to missions last year. This church does a good job of giving, and it's because we have a lot of folks that give back to God as the Bible teaches, and we don't rob God. We pay what we owe. Don't make debts you can't pay. Hey, what you? I heard a guy call into Dave Ramsey's show the other night, and he was trying to read Dave Ramsey's book and do the baby steps and all that sort of thing. And he was telling Dave Ramsey he had 4 judgments against him. 4 things he didn't pay. 2 of them were these payday loan companies for $1,600. Twice he borrowed $1,600. He borrowed $1,600 from a payday loan company, didn't pay it back, went and borrowed $1,600 from another one. And he got a judgment against him from both of them. And he had 2 other judgments against him. He was asking, should I pay those back and clean up my record? or should I just worry about paying my bills now? You know. And I'm thinking, boy, people can get in such a mess. I've heard of people with $40,000 and even $70,000 in credit card debt. A person who's got $70,000 in credit card debt is one of 2 things. He is either a businessman that has a business account that, you know, the business pays off large sums of money. Or if he's just an individual with an average income, he's making debts he never intends to pay back on that credit card. He thinks he'll just go one day and claim bankruptcy or something and not have to pay the money back. It's important as Christian men we're honest and don't make debts that we can't pay. Number 9 is humility. Humility. We got some handsome men in our church. Fellas, you don't get any credit at all for that. That's your mom and daddy. You're handsome because you're mom and daddy. You got talents, natural talent. You inherited that too. As a matter of fact, if you're a man of integrity and character and that sort of thing, that's really not to your credit as much as it is by the grace of God. I remember old Dr. G. Bishop Vick talking about the church, Temple Baptist Church in Detroit, Michigan, when he was pastor there, and they had 7,000 people, and they didn't owe any money to anybody, and they were giving amazing amounts of money to missions every year, and support and benevolence and all kinds of things of that nature. And somebody asked Dr. Vick, Dr. Vick, how did you do all that? He said, it's the grace of God, my friend. Not what I did, but what God has done. And we all need to be humble and recognize if we exalt ourselves, we'll be abased. If we humble ourselves, we will be exalted. Number 10 is trustworthiness. To be a man who can be counted on by your family, by your employer, by your church, and by the Lord. God can use you. We're on a journey, men, to become dads, husbands, grandpas. My baby daughter gave me a t-shirt for Father's Day. It said, great dads get to be promoted to grandpas. And kids call me Papa. I like that, but it didn't matter. They can call me whatever they want to call me. Lucas gave me a hug this morning. Normally he comes in the building and runs all around the building to avoid me, you know. Hides behind the pew, that kind of thing. He hides behind the door when I come in the house, you know. But this morning he ran up and gave me a hug. I guess his daddy probably told him, I've got to go hug Papa, you know. God made us in His image and likeness, and to be a noble man, defenders of truth, seeking the place where God would have us to be leaders. But when you become a leader, you become a greater target. It's imperative that you pray, walk with God, do the things that are needed. And there's 5 things, men, your wife needs from you. Number 1, affection. Intimacy with you. She married you. It's not your money and all the other things, not what you own. It's you that she needs and wants to spend time with. Number 2, conversation. Communication is more than just yeah, no, nah. It's more than looking at the newspaper and grunting every once in a while, or looking at the TV and grunting every once in a while. It's communication. Thirdly, honesty and openness. She can ask you questions. She knows where you are and who you're with and what you're doing with your time. Number 4, security. She needs security. She needs to have a place to live and secure finances that she feels like her future is taken care of. A woman needs that more than a man. Most men, if they got a roof over their head and a couple of bucks in their pocket and a dog to kick every once in a while, they're pretty happy, you know. Number five, commitment to her, putting her first above others. Well, by God's grace, we can be noble people because we're a part of the family of God. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. By God's grace, with the love He has bestowed upon us, we are the children of God. We are of noble birth. God helps us to be noble men. Let's stand together, please. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for all these good men at Bible Baptist Church. Pray that You'll strengthen us to continue to have a great testimony for You, to be men who have these characteristics of integrity and nobility. And we know it's by Your grace that we can do this. We ask Your help in Jesus' name. Amen.